In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In my line of work, a version of the following conversation comes up from time to time. This usually happens in an elevator or in line at the grocery store. It's with someone that I've not met before. The person will say something like the following. Father, you know what I believe? I believe that as long as you're a good and moral person, as long as you do your best to help others, you're a good and moral person, then really that's all that matters to God. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or even an atheist. All these religions really just want us to do the same thing. They want us to make this world a better place to live in. Father, I believe that pretty much all religions are just the same. What do you think? And I have to tell you, my first thought is not such a kind thought. Like, what do you think I think? I mean, if I'm wearing a Red Sox cap, I don't think that all baseball teams are the same. I'm a Red Sox fan. But for some reason, if I'm wearing a cassock and a large cross on my chest, all of a sudden there's some doubt about where I think people should spend their time on Sunday mornings. But I don't say this, God save me and God forgive me. But you know what I do tell them? I tell them, you're right. I agree. All religions pretty much are just the same. But Christianity, I tell them, Christianity is not a religion. A religion is something with institutions and spiritual practices and teachings and rules. Jesus Christ did not come to establish those things. He did not come to establish a bunch of institutions and spiritual practices and rules. He didn't come to tell us how to live. He came and he revealed what true life really looks like. He didn't come to correct us. He came to heal us. He didn't come to leave behind a body of teachings to touch our minds only. He came to illumine our hearts as we say and pray just before the reading of the gospel. And he certainly did not come into the world to judge it. Scripture makes that very clear. Just read the third chapter of John's gospel. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to love it and to invite the world to respond in kind, to do the same thing. He loved us in the hope that we might discover that we too are capable of love. Christianity is not a religion, I tell them. It's not a set of commandments, a list of do's and don'ts. Jesus Christ did not come and say, memorize these facts about me. He said, follow me. He didn't say, shape up or ship out. Jesus Christ said, come to me, all of you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. So, Mr. Smarty Pants Priest, if Christianity is not a religion, what is it? Christianity is always, in the first place, an invitation. An invitation. And you can take it, or you can leave it. And Jesus Christ, he invites us to love our God, to love our brothers and sisters, to love all of creation, just as he reveals how deeply God loves us. And here's the tricky thing about love. You can't command it. You can't make somebody do it. That's why it's always an invitation. All that you can do is show them how much you love them and then invite them to do the same. And so there are these two outlooks. According to one, Christianity is simply one religion among many religions in the world. Just another flavor at the ice cream shop. You like strawberry and I like chocolate. You follow the teachings of Buddha. I follow the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. You like the do's and the don'ts of your spiritual and holy writings. I like the do's and the don'ts in mine. To each his own. And that's one view. There's this other view. The one that says that faith in Jesus Christ is not in the first place about his commandments. Faith in Jesus Christ is in the first place about accepting his invitation to follow and to be comforted, and then to be changed by that. The invitation to accept his love and to offer our love back to God in return. On this view, you can't really call Christianity a religion. It's more like a marriage proposal. I love you, says our Lord. Can you love me in return? And will you let me take care of you? And I think so much depends upon whether we think of Christianity in that one way or in the other. So much is lost, I'm afraid, if we tend to think of Jesus Christ as simply another one of the world's great teachers. Somebody who was just sent to pass along a set of rules, good rules, to live by. And so much is gained if we remember that God sent his Son into the world out of love, and he invites us to do the same and to be changed by that. A good example of this difference, what we gain and what we lose, can be found in this parable of the Last Judgment, the parable which we hear read in church today. It's a heavy scene. In this gospel, we hear the parable of the sheep and the goats. We hear how the Son of Man and his angels will gather together the nations, separating them into the righteous sheep, those who showed mercy and love, and the goats, those who withheld compassion from the sick and the suffering. And the sheep, we hear, they're welcomed. They're welcomed by the Son of Man, and they inherit the kingdom of heaven prepared for them by the Father, as Scripture says, from the foundation of the world. To the goats, he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." You know, when we think of Christianity primarily as a code of conduct, a set of rules that we're supposed to live by, we become very self-centered. We tend to hear passages in Scripture like this one, and we tend to think that the passage is really about us. Our first thought is that this parable is a word of warning. It's a word of warning to you and to me. And the message we take away is that there are a list of things that I should be doing, a list of things that I should not be doing, and boy, things get pretty ugly for those who fail to comply with the rules. But brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ comes to us as a bridegroom, not as a general. And when we fail to remember this, we fail to see that this parable is really more about him than it is about us. The main focus in this parable is not on who is being judged. The main focus, the first thing that should grab our attention, the thing we should always remember, is that the focus is on the divine judge himself. And if we get too wrapped up in the fear of judgment, if we think that this parable is about us, that it's a warning to us, then we will miss that stunning revelation that the Son of Man, who will someday come in glory to judge the living and the dead, the Son of Man himself is right now present among us. For as much as you did it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it to me. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus Christ teaches the truth about his saving presence in this world. And the parable tells us that we do not worship a God who lives far away, not one who is waiting to come and punish the wrongdoers. We worship a Lord who is as close to us as the next person we speak to. Where there is hurt and pain and suffering, he's there. Where there's darkness and loneliness and injustice, Scripture says he's there. And when we are moved by love to take seriously the suffering that we see others undergoing, then we go to a place where our Lord is already hard at work. That's the kind of God we worship. Through the parable of the sheep and the goats, our Lord does not try to scare us into good behavior. This parable is an invitation. It's an invitation to us. Through the parable, Jesus says, "I am at work in the world, and I'm hoping to bring healing and wholeness and forgiveness. Come and find me. Come and join me." Brothers and sisters, may God give us the strength, and may God give us the courage to accept the invitation. It's an invitation to find him and to join him and to be with him. The parable of the sheep and the goats is not a threat. It's a gift. And hearing this parable, we now know where our Lord lives. And now that we know, he's expecting to see us very soon. He's looking forward to our visit. Amen.